This is Sci-Fi Talk, the podcast on how sci-fi, horror, and comics help us explore our humanity. Welcome to Time Capsule, my magazine-style interview podcast. Let's visit the world of African comic heroes, G-Day Martin. Can you talk a little bit about this deal with Universal? I know those things can't be talked about too much in detail, but kind of tell us a little bit about it just to kind of whet fans' appetite.
Oh, awesome. So I'm pretty excited because, again, it's in its own class and, you know, in its own rights and merits, it's the first of its kind. And why do I say it's the first of its kind? It's actually the first time that an American studio has picked up this amount of original IPs from an African entity. So they've picked up slightly over 59 IPs to convert into TV and film. They've gotten a license for audiovisuals, TV and film. What that also means, you know, and again, I'm that first of its kind, is that, you know, the creators still retain the rights to the IP. What they've just given out is a license for TV and film. Another first. And it's live action, again, which is another first. So it's not animation, it's live action. And we have the guys at Mad Massive being the showrunners who are going to produce this. And they've done a lot of exciting things like Washington Black, for example. So, you know, and Sheep, who has, you know, been involved in many productions, number of which are superhero franchises that are doing great. So I'm pretty excited about that also. We believe, you know, all things going well, we believe that it should be hitting, you know, we should start seeing, you know, a couple of episodes in the next 2 years. We should have been sooner, if not for the strike, the actors and writers strike.
Oh, yeah,
you know,
yeah.
That slowed things down a lot, actually. Most of you don't have an idea how much impact that strike had. But, you know, things are back on schedule and, you know, we can just can't wait. We've spent a lot of time building, you know, an all-encompassing African universe. I dare say, and I'm pretty certain of it, that we are going to give DC and Marvel, no, actually, we're going to push them out of the African market. Because, you know, our universe is I can say it's a good replacement for what DC and Marvel have right now. And it's all based on, you know, African characters. So we have a full universe that is 99%. You know, a representation of African characters and African creators. So pretty sure sooner than later, we'll push, you know, the Western comic makers out of our market.
Well, as a fan, I like those guys and I grew up with them. But the thing is, I have a big tent, so I can expand my taste. And that's what appeals to me, is that it incorporates African mythology into it as well. And we don't know a lot of it here. I mean, obviously with Black Panther, a lot of that mythology was created for the comic, and maybe based very little on that. But something that is deeper into that, I think we'll get, and I love mythology of any kind. So to get that perspective is very fresh. And long overdue here in the States, I might add. So, pretty cool.
Thank you very much. To be honest with you, right, we created, even though all of our characters are based, heavily based on authentic African mythology and its people, we kind of created it in such a way that anybody around the world would appreciate what we're doing. You know, they're universal languages in terms of creating comic IPs. You know, and I believe that the manga market were the first to crack it, where, you know, even though it was based on Asian ideas, but the rest of the world accepted it. And, you know, manga is now a thing. you know, we're hoping that with careful, the way we've carefully handled these things to ensure that, you know, it's universal while it's telling you what it is to be an African hero. You know, people around the world would love it.
Visit thecomicrepublic.com. There's more Time Capsule, so stay tuned. Next up, I look at the series Constellation as I talk to two of the stars. James D'Arcy, who is Magnus Taylor, and we know him as Jarvis in Avengers Endgame and also Agent Carter. Plus, William Cartlett from Black Lightning and Lovecraft Country is Paul Lancaster. Join me next. How did you guys keep the story straight as far as your performances? Because there's not only twists and turns, but I can't get too specific. It was a bit, must have been a bit challenging for you.
It was very challenging. I'm relieved to, or was relieved to discover when I arrived in Berlin to start shooting that we had three directors on the show, the brilliant, incomparable Michelle MacLaren, and then two Oscar nominees in Joseph Seeder and Oliver Hirschbiegel, and all three of them were scratching their heads a bit as well. And I thought, thank God, it's not just me. It's mm-hmm. not just me. Mm-hmm. And all of us would just sidle over to the genius that is Peter Harness and quietly say, I'm not exactly sure what's happening here. Can you just talk me through it? And he had all of the answers. He was so calm about it. And always gave us the time and would walk us through things that seemed maybe should be obvious to us. But it was really helpful because, yeah, it's not straightforward, this show. It's, you know, it is pretty mysterious, and it was mysterious to some of us when we were shooting it as well. But hopefully it's a pretty wild ride and one worth taking.
Time Capsule returns in a moment. Any thoughts on that, William? I mean, especially with your character, there's the twists and turns are a little different compared to the others.
Yeah, my thoughts would be I think I enjoyed knowing and not knowing. And I think we go through that in life. You know, a lot of things we know, a lot of things we don't know, and we explore the unknown. And a lot of times we're afraid of the unknown. And I believe Peter did a great job of putting those in that spaces and in those places where the viewer can also ask themselves that question. So like you being so excited about what you just watched, I'm like, yes, that is great. Constellation is a hit because this is the real goal that Peter is trying to get to. At the core is the human psychology and the human condition. And how do we deal with love? How do we deal with loss? How do we deal with regret? How do we have hope when everything seems lost?
As far as shooting in different locations, James, you were in the snow. And William, you spent most of your time in the space station. So starting with James, what was that like to kind of shoot in the different conditions you had to?
I think that, you know, from an actor's perspective, it's lovely to travel and see new countries and have that experience. From the show's perspective, you know, I love watching big, epic shows that feel very global in their nature. Mm-hmm. But what was really exciting about that was that's just the backdrop for what actually is a pretty intimate exploration of the nature of being human, which is, you know, we're not strictly a sci-fi show. I think we bend genres. It's sci-fi or a thriller or a family drama or whatever. But what sci-fi really does do brilliantly is it helps us to ask questions about who we are as human beings, but in this sort of very fantastical environment. And that's what I loved about, you know, we got to go to Morocco and I got to ride on a camel, and we got to go to Finland and I personally got to get on a sled behind a husky. But from the story's perspective, it just gives it this huge scope while still keeping us focused on, you know, who we are as human beings, the psychology of being human.
And while James are going to all these extravagant places,
you're in a harness.
I'm in a harness.
In a dark box.
In a dark box.
Yeah, I mean, that must have been. And then was it easier for you a little bit because your storylines were a little bit more pronounced? And I'm tiptoeing about this because although you did have, you'll see in one episode, it's really about you from your perspective, which I like.
I think for Paul, being in space and then coming home to his family, as Will the actor, being in space for 2 months and then now coming to work on, you know, on a real location, you feel that distance. you fill that time and you fill that space. And I like to call it the big three, the distance, time, and space. And this is what humans deal with all the time. You know, I love you, but I need time. You know, I know you understand, but right now I just need space. Or I just feel like there's too much distance between us. And so these are the core elements that humans deal with. And I've, you know, in Paul, I'm dealing with those things and I'm trying to make sense of it all.
Well, I think what grounds to me this whole story, and there's a lot being thrown up, but it's really the family element. And I thank you both for bringing that to it. And I mean, there's marriage problems, there's, you know, children problems. I totally related to that. So thank you. And best of luck with this. I really enjoyed this series.
Oh, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Terry O'Quinn is in the new series, The Walking Dead, The Ones That Live. I attended a roundtable with him and his fellow castmates. What is the relationship between these characters and Rick Grimes? Terry O'Quinn is Major General Beale, and he starts us off.
Well, I'll start for General Beale, the head of the CRM. Anyone who comes in has potential to be helpful or unhelpful. Oh, and then like that's probably Rick calling me right now. Apologies. So I have to keep an eye on him. I see that he has a lot of potential. I think he's very smart. Thereby, he could be a gift or he could be a threat. That's pretty much where I'm coming from.
I was very impressed with the world building of this show. What impressed you when you first, you know, read the page and got to know your characters a little bit? What impressed you about them?
I didn't, as I said, didn't really know the show. I talked with Scott extensively. And so he told me basically about this man, General Beale. And I think I've decided that he's been at war pretty much his whole life, for better or worse. Yeah. So I think this guy is pretty straight and narrow-minded in a way. He's been a warrior his whole life, and that's what he knows. And so I think he's one of those guys that runs toward the sound of fire. I think he wants things to turn out a certain way. He's concerned, especially for his community and for the future of humankind. And he's going to come up with his own way of dealing with that situation. But it was enlightening to talk with Scott. In terms of, I said, I'm 10 years behind. Well, tell me about it. I'll give you 20 minutes. So we had a conversation, and it was he told me what I needed to know. And I have watched the first three episodes of The Ones Who Live. I didn't feel lost at all. I felt like it was in just watching it. I feel fairly objectively that I could have been watching it in a theater. Mm. Cinematic. So that was my experience. In my case, I don't know what to expect. I was not a member of the Walking Dead universe, so it's all new to me. It's unknown territory. I mean, I'm familiar with being in something that was highly regarded and watched by a lot of people. These people may be more passionate. They may take it more personally. These, I want to say deadheads, but I'm not sure that. I think that's what I'm going to use from now on. But it's very exciting. It's good. You know, the production values are great. And people are wonderful. So, I mean, it's just a new adventure. I'm very happy to be involved.
The mixing of the human story and the supernatural.
Yeah, I think as far as we're talking about accessibility of the character. And I think the farther out the situation is, it might be a little bit more of a challenge. You have to use a little bit more imagination just to get to that place. But so much of that just depends upon the written word, on what they put on the page for you to say, what comes out of your mouth, and the situation they set up. And I think that in my case, for my character, it's pretty tunnel vision. So I had a lot fewer elements, I think, to consider than some of these guys did. But good writing is much easier to do than bad.
What impressed them about Andrew Lincoln?
Andy's the one that I worked with almost exclusively. I worked with almost no one else. We had a couple scenes. Leslie Ann was in, you know, a couple of those sort of larger scenes, but they were very brief, so I didn't get that the pleasure of working with her as much as I would have liked yet. But Andy was When I say pro, I mean, that's pretty much the nicest thing I say about people in general. Somebody who shows up on time, prepared, respectful, helpful, you know, knows how a scene is supposed to work, who's supposed to, how it's supposed to pay off, who carries a load, and he knows all that stuff, and he's a gentleman to match. Mm. So it was a real pleasure to work with Andy.
The Walking Dead, The Ones That Live, airs on AMC and AMC+. Customizable podcast playlists, exclusive videos, special series like The Mix 100 and Rewind are available at Sci-Fi Talk Plus. There's over 1,000 episodes uncut and a special offer for free lifetime access now available until May 1st. Click on the link in the show notes. No anonymous signups are allowed. Thanks for listening. This has been Time Capsule, episode 400. I'm Tony Tolato.